And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another exciting Saturday Night Wine Stream and another exciting episode of Drink with Rick. I'm Rick, and this is episode number 86. That's right, this is the 86th episode of the Wine Stream. And tonight we are going to review a Paris Valley Road. This is another red blend, what they call the Founders Blend. And this is going to be a very interesting experience because this wine I purchased up at Sunset and Vine. It was a recommendation from my friend Bennett up at Sunset and Vine in Blowing Rock, North Carolina. He has given me some great recommendations in the past, some of the wines we tried before on the Wine Stream. I'm looking forward to trying this one. We'll see how this works out. Anyway, so if you're joining me for the first time, welcome. Welcome, welcome. This is Drink with Rick. This is a stream of consciousness kind of show. Now, I do have some show notes, and I have them right here, as a matter of fact, prepared them just before the show. I don't always follow them verbatim. In fact, I'll go off on different tangents, wherever my mind and the chat will take me, because this is not a show about me. This is a show about the wine, but this is really a show about you and me, us getting together on a Saturday night and just sitting back, relaxing, having a great time in the chat. You are just as much a part of this show as I am. So please, don't be afraid to jump in the chat and join in, and really, you often steer the conversations, where these conversations go. So please, don't be afraid to join in and put in your thoughts. Tell me how you're doing. Tell me what you're drinking. Tell me what you're not drinking. Tell me what you'd like to be drinking. Or tell me what you'd like to see me drinking, and if I can afford a bottle of it, I'll see if I can get it and drink it too, along with you. Anyway, so if you're joining me tonight for the first time, you can watch on our website, drinkwithrick.com. That's the website. There's no chat on the website, but if you go into the comments box and click on the link for the show itself, you'll see the comments box. You can comment, and then you can respond to me in kind. Also, we are live on Facebook, such as it is. My actual back-end live feed, the video isn't showing up. I'm having to look at it from the front end. So we seem to be having some technical issues in the back end with Facebook, but I can't see it. It is going live on Facebook. So please join in the chat with me there on Facebook and tell me how you're doing. Also, the Facebook page is Drink with Rick, of course, and YouTube. On YouTube, it's Drink with Rick, at Drink with Rick, and we're live on YouTube, and it's going just fine there as well. Also on Twitch, you can join me live and chat with me live on Twitch. It's drinkwithrick. It's drinkwithrick1, the number one, drinkwithrick1. That's where you can find me on Twitch. And CM Cinder's in the chat. CM Cinder, it's great to see you, hearing you just fine. Well, thank you. I'm glad to hear that. And we're also live on Periscope. We're tweeting it out live on Twitter via Periscope, and you can, I got to fix that. There we go. Now we're, forgot to click the button, the red button. Okay, now we're live on Twitter. So if you're joining me on Twitter, tweet me there, and I'll try to respond to you as well. You can also drinkwithrick.com. I mentioned the website. Also, the podcast version of this live show, if you'd like to listen to it later, is available at drinkwithrick.com. It's also available at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Android, Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio, Deezer. You can also do it by email. Just subscribe by email. Click the subscribe by email link on the Drink with Rick website on the subscribe page, and you'll get the latest episode as soon as it drops down onto the site. The episodes go out at 10 p.m. Eastern on Monday nights, every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern time. So be like clockwork. You'll get the latest episode as soon as it drops down. Also, I am excited to announce that we're all, and it's not on this list here that you can see here, but I am excited to announce that we are also on Amazon Music Podcasts. And if you just say, you know, the wake word on your Amazon Echo, you know, the A word or whatever you want to call your Echo, because you can't change the name, you know, just say the wake word and just say play the Drink with Rick podcast or play Drink with Rick podcast, and she should be able to play. If she doesn't, let me know. Also, it's not on this list either, but the new podcast index, is available. That's an free and open podcast directory, and we are now available there every episode. So you have many, many ways to find Drink with Rick. So this is what we got tonight. Let me check the chat one more time and see if we've got anything else going on in the chat. Kind of quiet. Everybody's kind of comes in a little bit later on. And, oh, Ed's here. Ed's in the chat. Ed says, hi, here for now. Well, I'm glad you're here for now. I hope you're here for later, too. Ed, it's great to see you. It's always great to see you, my old friend. And Ed and I have been friends for a long, long time, worked at Disney together. We've done, you know, the thing is that I have a lot of old friends from back in O-Town and that area that that I really, really miss. Some of them I haven't seen in a long time because we've been up here in Charlotte for, 13 and a half years. And one of these days I'd like to get back down there and just see everybody and just catch up with everyone. Now, Ed's one of those people that I do miss and would like to catch up with and see again. A dear friend from many years, from way back when. Let's see, what else we have here going on? Let's see, some other places on the chat, but I know that's going to pick up later. That's usually what happens. Everybody sort of wanders in after about the first half hour, after I've already had the open the wine. But let's take a look at the wine. Let's see what we've got here. This is what we're drinking tonight. What we're drinking tonight is a Paris Valley Road 2017. It's a wine from California. This is called the Founders Blend. It is a red blend wine. It's called a Founders Blend because, I guess it was blended by the founders. I don't know. I do have some information on the wine. We'll read up on this information as I open it up and we let it breathe a little bit. I'll go through some of the info on this wine, some interesting information I have on it. This is the back of the bottle. Not much on the back of the bottle. I'll read it. It's the government warning. No, I'm not. It's the government warning. It's 14.5% alcohol by volume in the 750 milliliter bottle. It's Founders Blend red wine, vintned and bottled by Paris Valley Road Wines, Paso Robles, California. So that's pretty much all there is to the back of the wine. Isn't a whole lot to it. Interestingly enough, not a whole lot of real information on the wine itself, but fortunately I looked it up and found from their winery, the ParisValleyWines.com, they had plenty of information there. So we're going to look at that. So let's go ahead and open this bottle of wine. Oh, I almost forgot. I've got to pair it with tonight. I have these items to pair it with. I have some pizza and some pasta, some ziti, and a little bit of, I think this is a beef from beef stew that my wife made the other night, leftovers. Some crackers to clear the palate with, a little bit of celery. Got to eat healthy, right? And then we have what do we have here? This is a cheddar and, I'm sorry, this is a Swiss cheese, and this is a Parmesan cheddar blend, white cheddar and Parmesan blend, and of course, our famous and always worthy Trader Joe's double cream Gouda. We're going to try it out with all of those and see how it pairs with those foods. So let's go ahead and open the wine. And I have my foil cutter. I almost forgot about that. Let me get my foil cutter out. And we'll cut the foil off this wine, if I can get around there. There we go. And I like the little logo up on top. I don't know if you can see it well. That's kind of cool. So we're going to go ahead and use my... This thing's starting to... This corkscrew is starting to show its age on me as well. I've gone through like two or three corkscrews here. I've got one more as a backup just in case. There we go. That's a healthy pop right there. Should have done that closer to the mic, huh? Little ASMR for Saturday night. Okay, and so I have the bottle open. And, of course, to pour it, I have my trusty Veneto aerator from the Veneto Wine Lover set, and which is available for purchase on Amazon, by the way. And the entire set, which includes a corkscrew and this foil cutter and a number of other items, is including a chiller. There's a cool little chiller that we've reviewed on the show before. We tried it out once or twice, and it works pretty well. And that whole set's available for $19.99 over at Amazon.com. And there is a banner on my website at drinkwithrick.com where you can actually purchase it. And if you do that, you know, it's an Amazon affiliate link. A few cents of it may go to me, maybe. I'm not sure, 100% sure. But it's supposed to. Anyway, either that or Jeff Bezos gets it all. Who knows? But, I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, that would help the show if I do get a few cents out of it, because it does cost something to keep the lights on here. It literally does. And you can also buy the aerator by itself if you want. That's for a lower price. And, of course, to hold the wine, we have my trusty Galway Genuine Crystal Irish Crystal Glass from Ireland, and which was given to me by my employers at By Two Ear Radios. I'm going to go ahead and pour just a little bit of this wine into the glass. And wow, it says right off the bat, you can tell that it is a very, very full-bodied wine. No, normally the lights will fool you here a little bit, but this is actually for real. This is what it looks like to me, too. I'm looking in the monitor, and it's this dark to me, too. It's a very, very dark complexion. It's a very, very bold-looking wine. I would not be surprised if it is a bold wine. We tried another one of those red blends last night. The days just fly by. Don't know what day it is anymore. Well, it's Saturday night, I can tell you that. But we had that wine last week. What was it? That was the Rosso di Camomi wine last week, and it was just very, very bold. No doubt this may be a very, very bold wine too. So we're going to go ahead and let that sit and breathe for a couple minutes. And while it's doing that, let me go back to the chats here, and then we'll learn some more things about the wines. And Ed's in the chat. Stick around, Ed. We'll have some fun. KM Bread's in the chat. He says, hello, Rick, and hello, KM Bread. It's great to see you. It's great to see you. I hope everything's going well with you, and I hope your week went well, and hope your weekend's going well. We're going to have some fun tonight. And like I said, the chat's wide open. The chat's wide open tonight. I don't really have an agenda tonight, except for the birthdays and the national days. And there is something else that I want to tell you about, a very special anniversary that, that's relevant to all of us. And it basically a forerunner to podcasting, what we're doing now in a way. But I'll tell you a little bit about that. And a very exciting thing that we experienced this past week. I should say. I'm not going to spoil now. I'll let you in on it later. Anyway, let's see. Everything else is quiet in the chat at the moment. And Tim's in the chat. Tim, it's great to see you, my friend. How are you doing? Hi, he says, hi, Rick, and hi right back at you. Tim, I hope everything's going well. I haven't had any yet. The anticipation. But Tim is a good friend of mine from way back at WOFL. And how's everybody doing? How's your family doing? And Tim says tomorrow is my birthday. How did I miss that? How did I miss that, Tim? I was looking for birthdays, and I didn't see yours come up. Definitely got to make a note of that. Well, definitely you're going to have a birthday shout out here. Serious, Tim? I don't want to forget your birthday. I was looking around to see when everybody's birthdays was, and somehow I missed yours there. But that's tomorrow, right? Well, we have a couple of birthdays for tomorrow. We'll definitely do that shout out here shortly. I'm going to toast you on. I'm going to toast Tim on his birthday. And so, how's the family doing, Tim? How's your daughter? How's everybody going? How's everybody doing? Hope everyone's doing well. It's the wine. Get back to wine. I almost forgot about the wine, didn't I? So let me check Twitch. And Keen Bread says, I got my first car today. I'm really excited about it. Well, congratulations. I'll tell you what, we'll have to give you congratulations on your first car, too, right? Cam Brad first car. We'll have to toast you for that too, right? I've got a big list of toasting to go. I hope I have enough wine in this bottle. we'll make it work. We'll make it work. Okay, so let's find out a little bit more about this wine. I looked it up on their website, ParisValleyRoad.com. And this is what I'm now reading directly from their website. It's a really nice picture of the bottle that I have here, by the way. If you can check it out, ParisValleyRoad.com. /wines/CC-founders-blend. It says California Collection Founders Blend, California. This wine yields aromas of blueberry jam, chocolate, licorice, and espresso. Balanced tannins hold the profile together, giving way to a smooth and flowing texture. Finally, hints of black plum and subtle touch black pepper on the palate become evident on the exquisite finish. This is directly from their website. This is their, I guess, the equivalent of their text sheet here. The technical info, actually the winemaker notes, according to the winemaker notes here, it says hand-picked fruit sourced from the Chalk Knoll Vineyard in southern Monterey County. This unique wine is a blend that shows all the different fruit grown on the property, aged in 25% French oak. Good to know. Well, let's find out I read that from the website too, just to let you know. The technical info, this is a varietal, and this time, and now the last blend that we tried last week, the Rosso di Camomi, we didn't know it was a blend of four different wines. It was a Zin, a Merlot, a Cab, and a Petite Syrah. But you see, my memory didn't fail me 100%. But we didn't know what the blend was. You know, we didn't know what amounts they were in, which makes a big difference sometimes in how the blend tastes. It really does. This one we do know because they've posted it. This varietal blend, 43% Petite Syrah, 29% Zinfandel / Primitivo, 20% Cabernet Sauvignon, 6% Syrah and 2% Merlot. Now that's interesting because they added a hint of Merlot because the Merlot is going to really add some more boldness to this blend. So that's very interesting that I would have expected just based on how the wine looks that this might be more Merlot in it than they're saying. But apparently it's only 2% Merlot, 6% Syrah. Now there are five different wines in this blend. So I think that's the most I've ever had in a blend before that I can recall, at least in recent, whoops, hit the wrong button there. In recent memory, my thumb slipped there, folks, sorry. Let's see, 61.61 grams acid. The pH is 3.64. Aging, enjoy now or cellar through 2023. So this is one of those wines that will last a while. Some wines are meant to be had, you know, you don't want to drink them beyond 2-3 years after they're bottled. But this is a wine that apparently will last because this is a 2017. So 5 years, they'll say you can put it away until 2023, and it should still be really drinkable. Fermentation 100% malolactic, residual sugar 0.034, and alcohol 14.5%, and that matches what's on the label here. So, well, I'm not going to go there tonight, but you know how that usually works. Anyway, let's go ahead and try the wine. Before we do, let me check the chat one more time. Quiet on YouTube. I've got something to say about YouTube. Well, you're welcome, Cambred. You're welcome. We'll do some. And Tim says, all doing well. I'm glad to hear that. I'm really glad to hear that, Tim. So let's go ahead and try. Did I see how much I paid for this wine yet? Let's go ahead and try it first. I'm thirsty. I want to have a little bit of wine. So let's give it a try. Okay, so I'm getting some cherry and blackberry right there, mix on the nose. And it smells kind of jammy. It smells bold. It does. And wow, this thing, I'm swirling around the glass, and boy, it sure does have some legs to it. It definitely has some legs to it. So, wow. Okay, we'll give it a try. Wow. Very, very nice mix. I'm getting some cherry and some blackberry. I'm also getting a hint of raspberry there and some vanilla. I've got some vanilla here. Did it say chocolate in the thing? Because I didn't really get any chocolate out of that first taste. I was getting, it said chocolate, didn't it? Jam, chocolate, licorice, and espresso. I didn't get any chocolate, but I got some vanilla out of it. So we'll see. I have to have a little bit more of this. Or maybe my taste buds are just off a little bit. I don't know. Let's see. I don't think so. I can taste everything else just fine. Let's see. It's a very, very, very nice mix of a lot of different things. Get some raspberry in here too. Maybe a hint of strawberry. Maybe hit a strawberry on this. A little bit oaky, but it's not like the one that we had last week. The one we had last week was more oaky. And that one, it was really, really bold. That was so bold that the flavor just basically exploded on my mouth. It was a little bit too bold for me. The tastes are very, very powerful. And it had a very lingering finish. This one has a nice finish to it, very smooth finish. But it is tannic, but it's kind of a medium tannin. It is very dry. It is a very dry wine, and it is somewhat tannin. Yeah, it is somewhat tannic. But I would say the acidity is a little bit medium too. Maybe a little more acidic after the. First taste, it's not too bad. No, it's acidity. It might go pretty well with a couple of foods I have here. We'll see. We'll try it out. Yeah, I'm getting a little plum. I do agree. I am getting a little plum on at the end, and I'm still looking for licorice because I love licorice. I love licorice, and I'm trying to find the licorice in here. I can't say I'm really tasting that. Let me see. Yeah. Actually, I am getting a little licorice at the end, the very end on the finish, on the very, very end. That's where I'm getting some notes of licorice on it. It wasn't coming up right away, but it is kind of a complex wine, but it's very good. I like that. It's very, very good wine. We're going to have some more of this, as a matter of fact. Let's see what Vivino says about this. Vivino Founders Blend 3.8. Yeah, they said it was kind of, bold. It was dry. It's a little more acidic than, they're saying it's a little more acidic than I'm saying it is. There's some medium acidity, but it's, I don't think it's acidic as all that. Let's see, $14.99 is what they're saying the price is averaging, and let's see, on the ParisValleyRoad.com website doesn't really list the price. Checking around, the price seems to vary a little bit, but this is what I paid for it. I purchased it at Sunset and Vine. This is in Bowling Rock, North Carolina. I purchased it at Sunset and Vine, and I paid for the Paris Valley Founders Red, $14.99. So I pretty much paid the going price for it, $14.99, the average price for it. So that's what I paid. And it tastes like a pretty good, tastes like a $20 bottle of wine to me. Actually, I like it. I rather like it. I'll have to thank my friend Bennett up there at Sunset and Vine for the recommendation. I think it's a good recommendation so far. But we're going to pair it with some foods. And I just noticed my friend Marlo Anderson, who is the CEO of NationalDateCalendar.com, is live right now online. But we're gonna toast some national days here shortly, if I have enough wine in the bottle for it. Okay, we're going to go ahead and pair it with some foods now. And if no objections here, And I think it's kind of quiet there. Let's go ahead and do that pairing. Let's see. Okay. I have here some pizza. This was from Brooklyn Pizza. That's it. Brooklyn Pizza down the road. I'm going to try a little bit of that. With pizza. Let's see how it does with pizza. Should be interesting. Is this a pizza kind of wine? We'll see. I think it's a bit bold for the pizza, but I think it still could be a pizza kind of wine. Here's the thing. Pizza, when you're pairing wine and pizza, I think a lot of wines can go good with pizza. I think just about any wine, in a sense, just about any wine that you have can go with a pizza. I think it really depends more on the type of pizza than the wine, because there's some pizzas that go better with certain wines than others. You have a pineapple pizza. You know, some people like pizza with pineapple on them. Then you want to maybe there might be a couple of white wines that might go better with that, or the something like the where is it? I lost it back there. It was a while back. We had a wine there that was a nice wine from, I think it was New Zealand, that a white there that I think it would go good with a wine with a pizza with pineapple in it, because it did have a pineapple taste to it. And there's some wines that I think go better with red meats and red meats on pizza. You know, when you're talking about pepperoni or some kind of sausage or something like that. There are certain other red wines that go better with that type of pizza. And of course, the cheese, most reds go pretty well with a lot of different cheeses on pizza. And, of course, it also depends on the cheese blend. There are some cheese blends that they make pizzas with that probably work better with some wines than others. But, you know, pizza is one of those things that pretty much will, you know, a wine, you pick a decent wine, and it'll go good with a pizza pretty much for the most part. But once again, it depends on a lot of time, it depends on the toppings you put on a pizza. It does. Let me clear the palate a little bit. And then we're going to try it with a little of the pasta. This is the ziti. I'm right-handed, folks. I'm right-handed, but try it with the ziti. And I guess I'll have to pour a little more of this wine. A lot more of this wine. And try it with the ziti. The acidity now, the acidity starts to come out on this wine. When I'm matching it up with the ziti, the acidity starts to come out a little bit. This might be a little bit, I would say if it's, I don't know. I'd have to give that one some thought. Not sure about that one. Let's try it with the steak. This should go well with the steak, right? So this is a steak from a stew. And let's try the wine with that. Should be okay. Yeah. It works pretty well with the meat. I like it with the meat. It's good with the meat. Let's. I have to clear the palate one more time, don't I? Okay, let's try it with the, should we choose with? I don't know if this is going to go great with a Swiss. So the Swiss might not be a choice for this, but we'll try it anyway. The Swiss, I'm not confident about the Swiss. Let's see. It does bring out the Swiss flavor, the flavor of the Swiss cheese more. I can't say that would not be my first choice to pair this wine with. Let me clear the palate again. We'll try it with this. This is the cheddar, the white cheddar and Parmesan combo. These go good with a lot of white wines and with some Pinots. We've had it with some Pinots and a couple of whites before. I mean, at least one white one. Okay, that's not bad. That's not bad. Not bad. Not a bad pairing. Not too bad. Once again, probably not my first choice for cheese, but it's not bad. Okay, let's see. Let's try it. Now the big test. Let's try it with the Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda. Is this another winner, folks? Do we have another winner with the cheese and the wine? Let's see. Oh, you know, once again, I think that would be my first choice. The Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda wins again. Good choice with this wine. I think it works very well. I'm going to pour some more of this wine, as a matter of fact, by the way. A little bit more. Like he says, this is a very, very full-bodied. This is definitely a full-bodied wine. Wow. Impressed. Okay, and anything else going on in the chats right now before we... And my lovely wife, Cheese, on YouTube. She says hello, and hello to my wife, Chi. She's actually watching on YouTube right now. Yeah, okay, here's the interesting thing about YouTube. Okay, for the last... You know how I've been saying, you know, for the last couple of months, maybe longer, I'm checking the chats on YouTube, and I see that there are people that watch on YouTube, and people check in and out, and they're watching. Nobody ever comments on YouTube. Nothing in the chat, right? Well, it turns out that tonight, it used to be that when you set the settings, when you're doing the live streaming across the platforms, and I multi-stream to a number of different platforms. When I'm setting up the YouTube stream, in the past, it was such that you kind of set the settings and then just kind of use the same settings all the time, and they stayed, and you didn't have to go back and change anything every week to, you know, except maybe the title and the description of the show, the episode. Well, I know that they had made a few changes on Facebook with their streaming sometime back, but I hadn't really noticed anything really per se, anything specific. But then tonight, when I went in to check the to set up the stream for YouTube, I scrolled down a little bit farther, and then there was a separate chat button on the side, and I said, well, what's this? And I clicked that, and it turns out that the chat was not enabled by default. And I thought, oh, it's not enabled by default. I need to go in and enable it. Apparently, it has to be set up every single episode now. It seemed like it didn't used to be. You had some defaults that you could check, and that's what it stayed at. But now they've changed it so that you have to, each time you stream, you have to check it again and again and again. So now, from now on, I have to go in and make sure that chat box is checked. Otherwise, there's no chat, and which has been the case for quite a while on YouTube, apparently. YouTube, apparently, the chat, I thought the chat was going. I look at it, and there's nothing going on in the chat. And then I realized tonight, oh, that's because the chat is not being displayed. The live chat is not active. So I fixed that for tonight, so you should be able to chat. And that's why my wife, Chi, is in there right now. And she says, I'm having issue with Facebook. You're having issue with Facebook? You're not the only one. I was having an issue earlier. Everybody else can still see me on Facebook here. I know Ed and Tim are in the chat there. I can't get any video off of my Facebook live stream on the back end. I can see myself in the front end. I'm listening to myself in the front end, but I can't see myself in the back end. Facebook has always been a little problematic. Twitch has been pretty steady. And Lynn Marley's in the chat on Twitch, speaking of which. Hi, Lynn Marley. Good to see you. It's great to have you in the chat. I hope you're doing well. And by the way, did you get the package? Did you get the coasters? Because I sent you out the I sent you out the coasters. Lynn Marley says, good to see you. Hope you got the coasters in. Lynn Marley said, yes, I did. I love them. Thanks. Excellent. Excellent. I'm still waiting for that Square guy, if he shows up later. He's been, I sent his, now he's in Australia. He's in the land down under. And I sent him, because he won something the same night you did. And I shipped all of your items out pretty much, I think, pretty close to the same time. Anyway, last I heard, he still had not gotten his package. And I had a tracking number, and I kept checking the tracking number until I couldn't check it anymore. And apparently, once it leaves the States here, it's not trackable anymore. So... so it goes out to Australia, and then of course, and he won the book. He won the Crushing Debt book, and by my friend Sean Yesner, and it went out. I mean, I shipped it out, and it's been a couple months. And last I talked to him, I think I chatted with him a couple of weeks ago, and he said at that point that he hadn't received it, but I was like 6-7 weeks. But then he told me that they were telling me that they have a lot of trouble getting stuff. Shipped in, and their postal system, apparently there are a lot of issues with it right now. I think a lot of it's pandemic related, and they're not getting their shipments on time. So hopefully it got there at some point. Cambridge says, hopefully his arrives soon. Yeah, I hope so too, because it was not cheap to send it. I'll tell you something. I shipped it out USPS, U.S. Postal Service, because I was originally going to ship it out UPS because they do some international shipping. But when I went to the UPS store to ship it out, they told me, you do understand if you ship anything to Australia, it's going to cost you $100. I'm like, what? I just, my jaw just dropped. It's going to cost me $100 to ship. He says, it doesn't matter what it is. He says, you ship something to Australia, it's going to cost you about $100. And I'm like, well, I wasn't prepared for that. And the book, that's like 5 times the cost of the book, you know, that I was shipping. So that's why I shipped it USPS. But apparently, I don't know. I hope they get it. I hope they get it. That's all I can say. I just hope they get the book soon. Anyway, so she's having issues with Facebook. Not too surprising. Facebook's been a little wonky lately for a couple of things for me. I'm not sure why. It just has. So anyway, we've got that. We've got the tasting on the way. I'll give you my summary, my final review on this wine towards the end of the show. But until then, why don't we go ahead and do the birthdays? Because we have a number of birthdays, and it looks like we have more birthdays. Tim, got you in here. We've got some more birthdays to toast, so let's go ahead with the birthdays. Once again, we're drinking this. We're drinking the Paris Valley Road 2017 California Founders Blend with a blend of a lot of different wines in here. 5 different wines, so we're looking forward to toasting with this wine. Let's see how this works. Okay, so birthdays. My first birthday toast goes to, and I did toast him last week, by the way, but because it was his birthday is on Friday, it was yesterday, and because it was so far down the end of the week, I wanted to toast him again because it was just yesterday. So it was Friday, 11/6. I want to toast my good friend Everett. This is from my good friend Everett Montiel. Everett, happy, happy, belated birthday, but happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Everett. Tim knows Everett. Tim knows Everett. We all work together at WFL, and Tim worked in production. I worked in programming and promotions, and Everett worked in sales, and... It was more like family. Still is more like family. I always think of WFL as my family, and I want to say it was just an awesome experience working with both those guys and with everyone there at WFL. So a few of whom are no longer with us, but which makes me ever more thankful for those of us who are still with us together. And hopefully we'll be able to get together again and see each other at some point down the road. It's been a while. Anyway, here's to Everett. Happy birthday, Everett. And the next person I want to toast, actually it's two people I want to toast. There are two people I want to toast. They're very old friends of mine. I want to toast Gary Naveris and Barry Naveris. Gary and Barry. Yes, okay. Who are Gary and Barry? Gary and Barry are the Naveris twins. And great couple of guys. And I grew up with them since high school. We didn't hang out a lot together after high school or whatever, but we've been friends for many years since then. And particularly with Gary, we're friends on Facebook. And Gary and Barry, their birthday is today, 11/7, Saturday. That's their birthday today. So here's to Gary. You know, I should toast them both together and then one each one at a time, right? Do I have enough wine for this? Gary, here's to you. Happy birthday. And here's to Barry. Happy birthday. And you know what? You're going to get that unusual third toast because your birthday is to get together today. Here's to Barry and Gary. Happy birthday to both of you. May you have many, many, many more. Gary and Barry Naveris. Another birthday, another WOFL alumni. Well, quite a few of them here. And I have many, many friends at WOFL. Excuse me, more like family. But this is for Bob Walko. Bob Walko, Bob, your birthday is today as well, from what I understand, along with Gary and Barry. Your birthday is today. And Bob worked at Channel 35, and he worked at Channel 51 as well. At the time when there was a time when the two stations were kind of together. And I don't know what the situation is with all those stations anymore. I'm pretty sure that 35 and 65 are together. I don't know if 51 is still part of I don't know. It's been a while since I've been down there. But Fox 35, Bob Walko, happy birthday to you. And you know what? I'll toast you again, Bob, just because I can. Happy birthday to Bob. And may you have many, many more. Another birthday, and I do need to refill my glass for this. Let's see. Let me check the chat again one more time. Ed says, I ordered a CD-ROM disc about the Titanic from a guy in Australia and it never got here. Maybe it sunk. I shouldn't laugh at that because it's really not funny because, you know, you don't want to lose anything on it. But, yeah, there's some irony there. There's some irony there. And Gary's in the chat. It's great to see you, Gary, my good friend Gary. He says, thanks, Rick. Appreciate the birthday wishes and the rare triple toast. You're going to get a fourth one, Gary, just because you're here. And because this wine's so good, here's to you, Gary. And I hope you and your family are doing well. How's Barry doing also, by the way? It's been a year since I've talked to Barry. I hope you all are doing great. It's great that you're here. Let's see. Yes, I have another birthday toast for my good old friend, Cheryl. Not because she's old. She's been an old friend. I mean, she's been a friend for a long, long time. I know it's her birthday. I'm not implying that she's old. I'm implying that we've known each other for a long time. Okay, she's an old friend, not an old friend. I'm digging myself deeper into that hole, aren't I? I don't even have a shovel. Yeah. Anyway, so here's to Cheryl. Your birthday is Sunday, tomorrow. Cheryl, a good friend of mine, and sister of one of my good friends, Jack Miller. She's the sister of Jack, and Jack and I go way, way back. We all go back to our days at church, and I want to say that Cheryl and her family. I hope you're all doing well, Cheryl. But here's to you, happy, happy birthday! Toast to Cheryl. Cheryl, hey. And Tim, let's see. Now we get to Tim because, Gary says, honored, doing great. We all had dinner tonight. Oh, that's excellent. Well, give him my best. Give Barry my best. And let's see. Where was I? Oh, yes, Tim. I'm not going to forget you, Tim. My good friend Tim Bartlett, his birthday is tomorrow also, Sunday, the 8th. Tim, of course, I did introduce Tim earlier, so I guess he's a man who needs no formal introduction again. But just the same, Tim, here's to you. Happy, happy birthday to you. And may you have many, many more. And, let's see, I was going to go somewhere with that. I forgot. I think that's got it for the birthdays, isn't it? Oh, there was one more. I've got not a birthday, but an anniversary. I've got a couple of anniversaries, why not? I'll get through the anniversaries first. Anniversaries, let's see. Okay, first of all, I want to cover Twitch. KM Bread says, if you're okay with sharing, when is your birthday? You're talking about my birthday? My birthday. My birthday's in February. February 15th. That's my birthday. February 15th. Another day that will live in infamy. Lynn Marley says, the wine sounds delicious, and it is. It is actually very good. It's a good blend. The one we had last night, the Rosso blend, was also a blend of four different wines, but it was a lot bolder, a lot stronger. And to be honest, I couldn't go that far down in the bottle with it because it was really just a little bit too bold for my taste. Although I did finish it the next couple of nights later, I was compelled to finish the bottle because I don't like to waste wine. I didn't want to pour it out. And it was not a wine worthy to be poured out. It was a good wine. It was just a really, really bold for me to have very much of it at once. This one, though, I like this one. And Cambridge said, that's my aunt's birthday as well. We'll have to toast your aunt in February then. Let's see, where was it going? Oh, yes, the anniversaries. Okay, there are a couple of anniversaries. Let's see, first of all, I'll tell you what, I'm going to toast your car first. You got, Cam Bread got his first car today. I'm really excited about it, and I'm excited for you. I really am, because I remember when I got my first car, I remember when I had my first beer, too, but it was... It's a joke. I remember when I got my first car, and it was a pretty exciting time. My son Tommy, when he got his first car, he treated it very, very well. He was very, very good with it. And let's see, your first car, it's always a milestone. Here's to your first car. I do remember when I had my first beer, and I talked about that before too. As a matter of fact, I think I'll tell the story again some other time. I was not, by the way, I was only like 10, 12 years old. My dad gave it to me. My dad gave me my first beer when I was about 10, 11 years old. He made a man out of me that day with a beer. Here's your first beer. That'll make a man out of you. Yeah, he didn't put it that way. He just handed me a beer and said, here you go. So, which was an interesting experience. But he gave me my first wine, and I showed you pictures of that before. My dad gave me my first glass of wine when I was very young. I was about, 5, 6? I was very young when I had my first glass of wine. So my dad was not afraid to bend the rules a little when they came to that with his kids. A lot of stories there. I could go on. I'm not going to do that right now. Anyway, okay, so here's an anniversary that I really do want to toast. And it came over from the FCC. And there's a tie-in to this, and I'll explain why. I got this FCC statement from the FCC. working at Buy Two-Way Radios, I do watch the FCC's Daily Digest every day. So I see the latest news that comes down from the FCC every day when it does, because I watch that carefully. It's part of my job, actually, to do that. But this came over, and I thought, oh, wow, this is very interesting. So this is a press release. Chairman Pai, that's Ajit Pai, he's the chairman of the FCC. Chairman Pai's statement on the 100th anniversary of our nation's first commercial radio broadcast. Our radio got its start and impacts us today. I'm not going to read this whole thing. But basically, in a nutshell, the Federal Communications Commission Chairman Ajit Pai issued the following statement today on the history of radio. Today, as we celebrate the 100th anniversary of our nation's first widely recognized commercial radio broadcast, it took place on November 2nd, 1920. The broadcast, which aired in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on KDKA, Westinghouse Electric's newly established station, relayed the results of the 1920 presidential election and set the stage for a long line of radio broadcasts that have shaped the story of America. He says down here, radio has given, this is a quote, radio has given us a way to come together in times of strife and times of triumph. On behalf of myself and the FCC's dedicated staff, it is my honor to join all Americans in recognizing this milestone. Congratulations to radio broadcasters on a century of excellence. We look forward to the stories that radio will continue to tell. That's from the statement. And there is some, let's toast the 100th anniversary of radio. Always been a big fan of radio since I was a kid. I have a lot of stories related to radio when I was a kid. I got into broadcasting and a television myself. A lot of it was due to my interest in radio. So here's to the 100th anniversary of radio. This was on November 2nd, this past week. I'll drink to that. And there is something kind of significant about that because, as many of you know, my son Tommy is attending ASU, that's Appalachian State University, and they have programs there for television and radio. They have a television station and a radio station, a student radio station there, and his major is in communications and with a minor in business, but his major in communications, he... as part of that major, he went for working in the radio station there, and he's been taking courses related to that. So this semester, he's been going up to do some work at the radio station, learning about it. He was shadowing at first, and then he's actually been on the air. Well, since he's been doing this from home, it's been a little bit tougher for him to do that because of COVID. We sent him up there in August. He got settled into his dorm and everything, but then he was there for a couple of weeks, and then everything with COVID started happening, and they had some outbreaks there, and they're still having an outbreak or two up there with COVID, and we had to go right back up and bring him back. You know, we had to pull up 2 weeks earlier. We put all his stuff in the car, got him all set up there in his dorm room, and then 2 weeks later, we had to go back up there to Boone and pack it all up and bring him back here so he could finish all his classes online, which is what he's been doing. But for the radio station, to do the work at the radio station, he's been working, he's been having to go up there. We've been having to take a couple of trips up there for him to actually go into the radio station and work. Yeah, I know this is still going on behind me, and there's a reason for it. This is, this past week, he went up there for a couple of sessions, and he went on the air. And now, this is not a video. This is just an image, just showing you the image of the radio, because I sat in the car while he was in there making his first live broadcast. He did his first live broadcast on WASU, the local alternate rock station, the student station up there, on the 100th anniversary of commercial radio. So it was on, it was coincidence. On the 100th anniversary of commercial radio, my son debuted for the first time, got on the air live for the first time on radio, and which was kind of a big deal, kind of a big deal for us, a milestone for him. And I wanted to give him a toast because, you know, it was coincidence, but destiny? I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, I think that's a good sign, right? It's a good sign of good things to come for him. So, Tommy, here's congratulations to you for your first stint in radio on the 100th anniversary of radio. Here's you. And that's for my son, Tommy. Okay, I didn't have the fireworks going. Okay, let's get the fireworks going. Here's to you, Tommy. Congratulations. All right, once again, for those who are wondering what I'm drinking, this is what I'm drinking. This is the, once again, this is the Paris Valley Road 2017 California Founders Blend. It's actually pretty good so far. I like it. It's not as bold as the last thing we tried, and actually pretty decent. I can handle this one a little bit more, and better than I can handle the other one. Just really bold. This one is not so bad. I think it's because they only have the 2% Merlot there. I think if they had mixed more Merlot and less of the Syrah, then I think that would have been a little bit different, or a lot different. But I think their mix here makes all the difference. And I'll tell you what, once again, what is in here is a 43% Petite Syrah, 29% Zinfandel / Primitivo, 20% Cab, 6% Syrah, and only 2% Merlot. So I think that it makes a big difference. I really think it makes a big difference in that. So, see, so check the chat here and see what's going on. Nothing else happening in the chat at the moment. So, let's go back to Twitch for a moment. And so, Kay and Brett, your aunt's birthday, as I should say, is in February. I'll have to make a note of that. Cambridge. I make a note of all these birthdays here. Cambridge. You have to come back and we'll have to do this on February. On February. February 15th. Is that correct? Well, okay. That's pretty cool. My wife has a saying about February people. I'm not going to repeat it. But a lot of us born in February. My brother Mike was born in February, and my mother-in-law was born in February. February's a popular month for being born, right? It is. Nothing wrong with that. So, okay, I think that's the national days. We're going to do the national days. It's getting kind of late, but we'll go ahead and do the national days. Still have plenty of wine in here. So today is November 7th. It's National Bison Day. First Saturday in November is National Bison Day. I like bison. I like a good bison burger. Yeah, the bison are you know that the bison that in 2016, I think President Obama signed a proclamation making the bison the national animal, I think, the national animal across the country for the bison, I guess. I did not know that until today, until I checked the nationaldaycalendar.com, because they have all this trivia here at nationaldaycalendar.com. That's where I get all my national days from. National Bison Day, and I love a good bison burger. Don't you? Good stuff. National Bittersweet Chocolate with Almonds Day. Okay, I love chocolate. I like bittersweet chocolate, but I am not a fan of bittersweet chocolate with almonds. I can do chocolate with peanuts sometimes, but I like my chocolate without. Well, okay, I take that back. There's one thing that I will have a chocolate with. No, it's not raisins. Rice Krispies. Puffed rice. You know, I will have, you know, like a Hershey, what is it, the Nestle's Crunch. I like those. I like those. I can do the rice in there, but almonds, not. I never was a big fan of almonds anyway, but bittersweet chocolate with almonds, I don't know. I think I'll pass. National Canine Lymphoma Awareness Day. We should all be aware of canine lymphoma. I did not know that that was a real issue, but apparently it is. We have a dog. He's a sweet little dog, and it would just tear me up if he had anything like that. So here's National Canine Lymphoma Awareness Day. National Play Outside Day. I was going to do that today. But then it got a little bit later, and then I want to take a nap. So it's kind of like, oh, you play. See, here's the thing. When you're young, when you're really young, that's what you think about, playing outside. When you get to be my age, it's more like, you know, afternoon is really more nap time, right? I tell you what, nothing beats opening the windows and letting the midday sun stream into your room, and then you just lay back on the warm bed or on the couch, as it may be, and just taking a nice, comfortable nap. Now, my wife frowns upon this because I should be out doing something in the middle of the day, and she's right. I'm sure she's right. But you know what? There is something, maybe at my age, there is something about Gary. I don't know if you can if you agree with this or not. I mean, oftentimes on a midday like today, I'd be out mowing my lawn or something like that. But there is nothing that beats just in the middle of the day and you got the sun streaming through the window and you just lay back on the couch and you just take a nice hour-long nap, you know, and there's just something really, I don't know, just something relaxing about that, at least to me. Anybody else like that? I know that the sun, daylight's the time to go outside and run around, but I'm really more of a night person anyway. But I don't know. I just like that sun coming in the window and just kicking back and nice warm sun there, and you just take a little nap. That's just something that I really like about. Or go outside. You know, I could go outside in the sun on the back porch, just sit back in a chair and just, you know, read a book for a little bit until it lulls you to sleep and just take a nap. And then you wake up, there are bugs crawling around you and all that kind of stuff. You know, that kind of thing. Anyway, I love a good afternoon nap. Ed says, when you left Tommy at college, did you say bison? That's good. That's a great dad joke that my kids would hate. Ed, I tell you, my kids do not like my dad jokes, and I've got a million of them just like you. I got to use that. Can I use that one? Did you say bison? Every time I come in with a new dad joke, they do the eye roll. I'm like, oh, dad, that was just awful. But I love dad jokes. I love puns. I love plays on words. Ed and I used to do some punny stuff sometimes, and it was always fun. I liked that kind of stuff. Of course, then again, Ed and I used to sit back and listen to Dr. Memento all the time, too. So no shame in that. It's just, you know, yeah, you got to have a sense of humor, especially these days, right? Let's see, chocolate. Oh, Cam Bread says, oh, wait a minute. Let me go scroll up here a little bit. Lynn Marley says, yeah, it's one or the other, chocolate or almonds. Yep. Cam Bread says, chocolate and toffee is my favorite. You know, I like toffee. And Lynn Marley says, that sounds so good. Yeah, I like chocolate and toffee. I do. But I do like, you know what? I like chocolate and caramel. I like chocolate and chocolate. And reminded me of something. The old Monty Python spam thing, you know, chocolate and chocolate and chocolate and chocolate and a little caramel and more chocolate. Like spam, 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 sausage, egg, and spam. And spam, spam, spam. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that wine started to kick in just a little bit. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. So, All right, where were we with the National Days? I did get off on a tangent again. Okay, so it's National Play Outside Day. I do like to play outside. I do. But if I had the choice of playing outside in a nap, when I was 20 years younger, I would say, play outside. Nowadays, it's nap. Here's the National Play Outside Day. And here's also National Nap Inside Day, if there is such a thing. There is now, because I just made it up. November 8th is National Cappuccino Day. I will drink to that because I love a good cappuccino. National Cappuccino Day. It's also National Harvey Wallbanger Day. I'll drink to that too. Now, for those of you who don't know what a Harvey Wallbanger is, and I think most all of us know what a Harvey Wallbanger is, but if you don't, NationalDayCalendar.com actually has it. I'm reading right from their website. National Harvey Wallbanger Day on November 8th recognizes a fruity and spirited cocktail made with 3 parts vodka, 1 part Galliano, and 6 parts orange juice. Pour it into a highball glass and garnish it with an orange slice and a maraschino cherry. That's a Harvey Wallbanger. And where did that came from? There's actually history about that. And I think a lot of it involved world champion bartender Donato Duke Antone. He's the one, I guess he's the guy who gets credit for inventing the cocktail. There's a story behind this. I'm not going to read it all, but it's there's an interesting story behind the Harvey Wallbanger. So here's National Harvey Wallbanger Day. Although I do prefer my martinis, my vodka martinis, shaken, not stirred. Then we have National Parents as Teachers Day. National Parents as Teachers Day. Okay, I've got stories about that. I'm not going to go in. This is going to get too long show, but I do have stories about that. That was very much when I was a kid. When I was a kid, they sent me to public school. And that's how I met Gary and Barry and all these guys. When I had my kids, I said that I was going to take, especially when I had my daughter Tia, I made a vow that I was going to take a personal interest in their education, in their formal education, a very close interest in it. I was going to be very much involved in their education. Now, we did not homeschool our kids. I kind of wish we had in a way, but we didn't have time. You know, she and I both worked full time. She worked full time. She's a nurse, so she worked full time at various hospitals and things like that. And I had my computer business at the time when Tia was born and when Tommy was born. And I ran my computer store full time. That was more than a full time job. It was like almost a 24-hour job in some cases. And we really couldn't homeschool our kids. We just weren't able to do that. But I did make a point to do this during the summer breaks before my kids would start school. And as a matter of fact, before they started kindergarten, the summer before they started kindergarten, I would take the afternoons and the evenings and we would have our own school at home in the evenings and late afternoons and sometimes on the weekends. And I would buy the books that would prepare them for before their first their kindergarten, and I taught them both to read before they got into kindergarten. So both of my kids knew how to read before they got to kindergarten. I made a point that I wanted to make sure they could read and they could do basic math, addition and subtraction, before they got to kindergarten. And that's what I did. I spent the time and taught them both. Now, I also did this to my brothers and sisters when I was a kid. And when I was a kid, I went to Salisbury. I was in Salisbury. And I went to an elementary school there, Wiley Elementary, and they were trying an experimental system at the time for learning to read, which is reading by color, which they call at the time reading by color. And I caught on so quickly, and it was such a revolutionary thing with the kids in first grade to learn to read so quickly. I took the system, and I was only 6 years old then. I took the system for reading by color. I took it home, imitated. I got a chalkboard and some colored chalk, and I imitated what I had learned in class and taught my brothers and sisters how to read. The ones that were old enough to learn at the time. So I taught them how to read before they even got to school, gotten into kindergarten or first grade. I repeated this when I had my kids, Tia and Tommy. I said, I want them both to read before they get to kindergarten. So I taught them how to read. And they could read on a second grade level when they got into kindergarten. And in fact, when my daughter in her kindergarten class, what was his name? Mr. Schaldiner, I think was his name, the kindergarten teacher. He was so impressed with the fact that Tia could read on a second grade level. He was just amazed because none of the other kids in kindergarten, most of them weren't even reading, period. But Tia could read very, very well and at that level. And did the same thing with Tommy, because Tommy, when he saw me teaching his sister how to read, he was like, oh, I want to learn how to read too. So I taught him too. So he learned very early on, and I taught them both how to read. And then after they started school, I thought, well, you know what? I can keep doing this. I can take this to the next level. So what I did was, until they were in fifth grade, the first 3 or 4 years of their schooling, I, in the summertime, I would go out and get the books for the next grade level, and workbooks and things like that, and various topics on reading and writing, math, and social studies and things like that, and would teach them at home in my spare time. And we would do it like a 4 week period before the school started. I'd go through and give them a little reading and writing and math lesson. And they went in for each school year. They would go in way ahead of their class. They were just way ahead of the class on that, which was pretty cool. Now, after that point, I didn't have time to do that anymore. But I was very, very much involved, especially in the early days, in teaching my kids the basics. And I feel that that's really the responsibility of the parent. I know the parents will send the kids off to school and say, hey, I'll let the school teach them this. Schools aren't teaching kids much anymore. I'll be honest. There are kids that are getting out of high school that really barely know how to read and can't do math, basic math. My kids can do all that and more. And I think if more parents did that with their kids, I think we'd have better kids. The kids would be better prepared, I should say, for life than they are. Anyway, I'm all for it. I went off on a rant. That's my rant for the night. I do a rant every week. So anyway, here's my rant. National Parents as Teachers Day. I'm all for that. I'll drink to that. There's one more national day. National STEM STEAM Day, and I'm reading off their website. National STEM STEAM Day on November 8th calls for full steam ahead, STEAM. The day inspires kids to explore and pursue their interests in science, technology, engineering, art, and math at STEAM. That is November 8th. It's known, I guess it's known as, it's a play on words for the same as that super secret organization NOV8. NOV8, making it the perfect date to inspire innovation. It's an organization, NOV8, it's for innovate, for super smart girls. It's a franchise. Anyway, I'm just paraphrasing some of this. But National STEM STEAM Day, drink to that. I think that'll do it for the national days. I think that'll do it for the national days. So let's see what's going on in the chat. It's been a while. I got off my rant, and then I sort of wasn't watching the chat too much. Here we go. Uncle Ledger says, hi there. And Uncle Ledger's in the chat. Hi there. Hi, right back at you. Let's see. We'll go back up here a little bit. Cam Britt says, looked it up. National Napping Day is March 15th. Is it really? Is it really? Well, I'll have to National Napping Day. I'll have to make a point of that. Definitely have to take a nap on that day. Is that the next one on a Saturday? I don't know. I'll check it out. Thanks for the heads up on that, Cambred. National Napping Day is March 15th. I'll have to definitely look that up. Looking forward to National Napping Day. Every day should be National Napping Day, and I'll drink to that. Cambridge says, feel bad for the kids that have to learn Common Core. Yes, same here. That's a very, very contentious issue. Very contentious issue. My wife and I had a lot of, we had a lot of thoughts on that, Common Core. Uncle Ledger says, do you know any wine from Argentina? Yes, I do. Personally, I know some wine from Argentina because I've had quite a few wines from Argentina. I think the last one I had from Argentina was, was in the Malbec? No, it was, I have several wines back here from Argentina. Wait a minute, the Gestos, wasn't it? The Malbec and Malbec, I think that, yeah, that's from Mendoza. That's a really cool wine, by the way. We had that. You go back and watch my review there. The Malbec, it's Gestos, G-E-S-T-O-S is pronounced Gestos. It's a Malbec and Malbec, and what it is, it's a Malbec grown on two different elevations. There's a Malbec grown at one elevation and a Malbec grow about like 1,500 feet higher, something like that, in the elevation. And it's a really, really, really good wine that is a great mix for it's all Malbec, but it's a little bit different. The grapes are a little bit different between the two, and the blend is just awesome. That Gestos is a really, really good wine. I really enjoyed that. And if you can find a bottle of it, let's see, that's a 2018. I think it's a 2018. By the way, those are all real bottles. That's not green ski green behind me. Okay, that's a real set. not a lot of fakery there. Yeah, there's a blue screen back there, but and I do specific things with it, which you've seen earlier. But that's, you know, for the most part, it's all real, right? So I think that does it. The national days, right? Yeah. Okay. So I got nothing else. This is I got one more thing. You know, we have another hurricane going around. It's about to hit the Florida coast. Or it looks like it's going to hit the Florida coast and then make another turn. And then who knows where it's going to go from there. So we're still worried about hurricanes, and we're well into November. And the hurricane season's still here, apparently. So get your weather radio. You know, I'm a big proponent of being prepared. Go to ready.gov. That's ready.gov. It's a government website, but it's ready.gov. You can put together, they have a list there, put together your emergency kit, your preparedness kit. Number 3 item on the kit, and I think number 5 or 6 item, they're both radios. Number 3 item is an emergency weather radio where you can pick up the NOAA weather alerts. Number 5 is a regular radio, a two-way radio, like a walkie-talkie, like what I have here. Oh, I want to mention this for just a moment. You're not supposed to hold it by the antenna, by the way. I just did that because I had to grab it. If you go to buytwowayradios.com, buytwowayradios.com, you can pick up weather radios. You can pick up FRS radios, like the one I was holding in my hands just a few moments ago, marine radios, GMRS radios, CB radios, ham radios, and really airband radios, any kind of radios there. You buy the radios from buytwowayradios.com. If you use the promo code WINESHOW when you check out, WINESHOW, W-I-N-E-S-H-O-W, W-I-N-E-S-H-O-W, WINESHOW, you can save 5% off your entire order. That's Wine Show at buytwowayradios.com. Now, for full disclosure, I do not work. I do work for buytwowayradios.com. Okay, let me back up here. Okay, I do not get any money from that. Okay, I do work. For full disclosure, I work for buytwowayradios.com. I am the product manager for the company. I don't make any extra money for doing this. I am not getting a stipend for mentioning it. I am not. This is not a paid promotion, so to speak, okay? I'm just telling you this. The Wine Show promo code is just given to us for you, for your use as a viewer and a listener of Drink with Rick. on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. So this is for you to use. So use it. Or don't use it if you don't want to, but I would suggest using it if you're going to buy a radio because it'll save you some money. But yes, for full disclosure, FTC disclosure, I do work for buy2wayradios.com, but I am not making, this is not a paid advertisement. Okay, I just want to make that clear. I'm not getting paid to do anything here. As a matter of fact, this cost me a lot of money, and I would love to be getting some sponsors, maybe one day. We'll see. But I basically do this for fun. This is something I'm doing for fun, okay? And I'm offering this to you because, you know, you're watching this show. This show, you're part of this show. So I figured I should give something to you for that. So anyway, oh, I was going to mention this radio. This is really cool. This just came out. This is an FRS radio, and this is license-free. This is a really cool, you know how most walkie-talkies radios, you know, they call the bubble pack radios where you get like a two-pack. And if you're going to go hiking or camping or fishing or hunting or just out around the neighborhood or the kids are doing stuff, you're doing some family stuff, neighborhood watch stuff, anything like that. And you go out and buy a bubble pack of these radios at the store or Amazon or whatever, or from us at Buy Two Way Radios. This is not your typical bubble pack radio. Now, this is like the other radios in the sense that it's license free. If it's an FRS radio, so you can use this. What it means by license free is that by buying and owning the radio, just by having the radio, you are licensed to use it. It's like CB. You're just the fact that you purchased and you own the radio, that's your license to use it. And so that it's licensed by rule is what it's called. But essentially, it's license free. You don't need a license. You don't need to go out and buy a license or apply for a license at the FCC to use this radio. Anybody can pretty much use it. You can use it, anybody. You know, you can use it for business use. And a lot of businesses will go out and buy these little bubble pack cheapy radios. And of course, they break all the time because they're out using them for heavy duty things that they weren't really meant to be used for. Businesses can use them. Anybody can use them personally. The kids can use them. Families can use them. Anybody can use them. You don't need a license. Well, that's the thing is that a lot of businesses use those bubble pack radios because they're cheap and they don't want to have to go out and get an expensive business license and buy like a $200 or $300 Motorola radio or a Kenwood radio or something like that, which really a business should use those because they're a little more heavy duty. But I mean, there's some drawbacks to using FRS radios for business if you really need to secure communications, but because these are open to the airwaves, these are pretty much open. Anybody can listen in. Unlike the business licenses for the business radios. But a lot of businesses do buy them because a lot of small mom and pop shops, they can't afford to go out and spend $200 or $300 on a commercial business radio license and buy expensive radios. So they'll use the FRS radios. The thing is, though, up to this point, all they had were the little cheapy radios. So this one, Ocean came out with this, which is a heavy duty. This is a business class radio. This is a commercial class, a very heavy duty commercial class radio, but it's for anybody to use. I mean, businesses can use them. Individuals can use them. If you want something that's a little more durable than, say, you know, the little, even for the kids, if you don't get the kids those little SpongeBob walkie-talkies, anything like that, don't get the kids those little cheapy, My Little Pony walkie-talkies or whatever, because you're going to spend as much money as you would for buying a real walkie-talkie, and they're going to break more easily. They're not as durable. And let me tell you something, kids, and I know because I have kids, they're older now, but when they were young, they were kids. I mean, kids can be pretty rough with radios too. They can be pretty rough with the toys, and toys will break easily. So you don't want to give, you know, if you want to give the kids something that's going to last, get them a real radio, because first of all, they'll like it better because it's a real radio and not just a little toy radio. Some kids don't like the little toy radio because they want to say, hey, you know, I want a real radio like mom and dad have. Like dad uses it at work or mom uses it at work. They want a real radio, and this is their eyes will light up. You get them a real radio, and it's like, wow, this is pretty cool. But they can use it, and it lasts longer because it won't be as breakable, be a lot more durable, and you'll get a lot more use out of it. As a matter of fact, I've known adults that have gone on to say, you know what, we need a pair of radios. We're going to go on a cruise or something. We need a pair of radios to use on the cruise. And while you're on the ship, it's very handy to have little walkie-talkies around when we're on the ship. And they sell them, actually. They rent them, too, on the ship when they're very, very expensive to rent and to buy. Just bring your own. But a lot of parents will say, oh, we're going to go on a cruise. You know, we're going to, let's go use Johnny's walkie-talkies. You know, we'll bring those with us on the trip. And if you're going to do that, get Johnny some decent walkie-talkies so you can use them on the trip. Something that's not going to break. Little forethought there, you know. So anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. It's my stream of consciousness again. So we have those radios at Baitu'ir Radios, by the way. And you can buy them. And those are actually exclusively at Baitu'ir Radios. And you can save 5% off of it. Not really a pitch. I was just excited about this radio. Ed says, National Napping Day to rest up before St. Pat's on March 17th. There you go, Ed. St. Patrick's Day. Oh, wow. We got to have a St. Pat's Day party, don't we? We sure do. I don't have any green wine, but we can do some beer, green beer. That can be a lot of fun. That's not too far away. You know, we're only 4 months away from that. Did you realize that the it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, the year is almost over. I mean, it's already November. It's going to be, oh my goodness, it's going to be January again soon. I guess for a lot of us, we're like breathing a sigh of relief because we're saying, oh, January 2021, let's get out of 2020. I saw something posted on Facebook last week, something words of the effect that, oh, you know, that's what we need. Great. We're rolling back the clocks. It's all we need is one more hour of 2020. And I think about it like, yeah, that's all we need is an extra hour of 2020, right? It's been one rough year, folks, hasn't it? This has just been one heck of a year. I don't know. I don't know. All I can say is that I can't guarantee that 2021 is going. You know, people are thinking, let's write off 2020, go straight into 2021. Let's just forget about 2020. But the thing is, that's a numbers game. It really is a numbers game because it's not the year. It's not the date or the year. It's what happens in it. It's like the events that lead up to it. And we can all joke about it. Well, let's skip 2020. Let's go straight to 2021 or 2022. That's going to be a great year. It's just another number. It really is. It's just another number. It's at the end of the day, and I don't mean to sound like a Debbie Downer of any sort, but let's be honest. Their numbers, we're just counting the years. And everything that happens in the year is what happens. And that is what it is. Will 2021 be any better than 2020? Who knows? I'm not a prophet. I'm not a psychic. I don't want to be either one. I don't profess to be either. I have no idea what's going to happen next. I don't think anybody does, really. But we can hope, right? We can have faith and we can hope for a better tomorrow. And why does it have to start at January 1st? Why does it have to start January 1st, 2021? Why can't it start? It's just another date on the calendar. And all these days are running together anyway. Why don't we start right now? Let's start right now. Let's start at this moment, at this time, starting right now. It's going to be better. Today's going to be better. Tomorrow, when I wake up tomorrow, provided I wake up tomorrow, and I tell you what, if I wake up tomorrow, just that alone is, at my age, just that alone is going to be better. That's a good thing. Any day that I get up out of, that I can get up out of bed and stand up on my own 2 feet is a good day. That's true. And I'll drink to that. But let's be honest. This is really all up to us. It's completely up to us as to how we're going to take on the day, and whatever it gives to us, or sends to us, or throws at us. It's completely up to us how we handle that. And we can handle it in a positive way. We can handle it in a negative way. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, it's really up to us. We are the ones that determine. You and I, we determine what happens with our lives and how things go with our lives. We can take, you know, the old saying, you can take lemons and turn into lemonade. It's true. I mean, yeah, sure. We can get a lot worse stuff slung at us than lemons, but it's really how we react to it, how we take it and how we react to it, and how we try to work around it, that's what makes the difference. That's what makes the difference altogether. Does it make any sense? I hope so, because I've been as much of a negative person in some things as anyone else. You know, I've had a lot of negativity in my, you know, thoughts and actions and things. And you know, things happen, I react to them, and I can react definitely negatively to them. And, you know, I have to look at that and think, okay, wait a minute, how much of that is the situation? And how much is that my reaction to the situation? Could the situation be better based on my reaction to it? I think so. You can make a bad situation better. You can make a bad situation work. At the end of the day, it's really, really all up to you as to how you take it and how you react to it, and not just react to it, but maybe be proactive about it and take steps to make it better for yourself. I think that's really what it comes down to. Anyway, let me check the chats one more time. Everything got quiet after starting my rant. Ed says, heck of a year, heck of a vote counting season. Yes, and from what I understand, it's not over yet. Of course, we don't talk about politics or religion on the show. We just keep that out. But there are some things that I guess in a general sense that you can't escape. There's some events, especially things that are happening now, you just have to just once again make the most of one way or the other. You have to make the most of it. She says, nap? No. That's my wife already telling me that nap time is out for the rest of the week, weekend. I hope not. Definitely my nap at my age. All right, well, I guess that's going to be, if there's nothing else, if nobody has anything else, I guess that's pretty much it for this week, for this episode. I do want to give you my final summary on this wine. Okay. My final summary. This is once we're drinking the Paris Valley Road 2017 California Founders Blend. And it's not just a red blend. This is a Founders Blend. And it is 43% Petite Syrah, 29% Zinfandel / Primitivo, 20% Cabernet Sauvignon, 6% Syrah, 2% Merlot, and I'm reading off the technical info on their site at ParisValleyRoad.com. They were saying it has all kinds of, it's a little complex, and it is a little complex. I tasted, and they were saying there was chocolate in it, and I didn't taste any chocolate, but I tell you what I tasted in it. I tasted, this is a fairly bold wine, but not nearly as bold. Now, Vivina has it on their site as really bold. I don't think it's quite that bold. I don't think so. It wasn't as powerful as the Rosso wine, not nearly as powerful as Rosso wine. I think this is actually a better blend. I'm going to say the Rosso wine was okay, but I like this blend a lot better than the Rosso blend. And this has a blend of 5 wines in it. And I think the fact that there's just a small, just a minute amount of Merlot in it actually helps it. I think there was a lot more Merlot in that blend than there was. And I love Merlot. I love a good Merlot. But when you start blending all these wines together, if you don't blend them just right, they have a tendency to really be a little overpowering. I think that was getting close to that. I think maybe it was just young. Maybe it was just a little young. I don't know. Maybe if it sat on the shelf for a little longer, maybe it might be better. This one I think is just right. This is a nice wine. And it's somewhat tannic, but it's also, and it's a little acidic, a little more acidic when I taste it with some of the when I taste it with the pastas, but it's actually a pretty decent wine. Blackberry, cherry is what I tasted right off the bat. I did taste a little raspberry and I think a hint of strawberry in there. There was some vanilla. I got some vanilla out of this. Although we're saying chocolate, I didn't really get chocolate in here. And I did get the licorice. They were saying licorice, but I did get that at the very end, but it was a very end at the finish. Just a hint of it. And you know what? Now that it's opened up, because we've been doing this for an hour and a half, now that it's opened up a bit, I'll say that it actually has, I can taste the licorice in it a little bit more. It's a little more pronounced than it was before. So I think the key is to actually let the wine open up and breathe for a while. I think maybe decant this wine for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes or so, maybe 30 minutes before you drink it. I think that's actually the sweet spot, as a matter of fact. Let's see. The wine's actually a lot smoother after it's opened up. It's a lot smoother. I like it. I like this wine. I would highly recommend this wine. And by the way, I think I briefly mentioned this before, but Bennett Larson over at Sunset, I picked this up over at Sunset and Vine in Boone, North Carolina, up the mountains. And I mentioned Sharon Chrisman and Bennett Larson before, because we've had several of the wines they sold in the past, including a really good Pinot that I really enjoyed. The first wine that we reviewed from there, I can't remember where it is now. That one I didn't care for much at all. But after I tried the second wine, it was much, much better. And then every wine since then has been a winner. And Bennett personally recommended this wine to me. He has not gone wrong on the wines that he's recommended. And there are a couple more. I have a couple back here. I've got another Pinotage. And let's see, where is it? There's another one down here. It's another, I think it's a cab. I don't remember exactly right offhand. We're going to open those up later on. But this wine, all the wines that he's recommended personally have been winners, have been very good. I've really grown to trust his recommendation on it. So if you're ever up in the Boone or in the Blowing Rock, North Carolina area, go to Sunset and Vine. He knows his wine. He definitely knows his wines because we've talked about wines a couple of times, been there, and we've had some really great conversations on it. Oh, I almost forgot. While I was there, I picked up this T-shirt from them. They have these T-shirts. This is really cool. Sunset and Vine T-shirts. Look at that. I don't know if you can see that well. Here, let me close up. Sunset and Vine T-shirts. And wine with altitude. Instead of attitudes, wine with altitude. He did. Now, he has a... I'll tell you what, folks. I'm going to give one of these away. I'm going to give one of these away in a future wine stream. Watch for it. I'm going to give one of these away. I don't know if it's next week or the week after, but one of these that we taste one of their wines, I'll give one away. And one lucky person will win a Sunset and Vine T-shirt. He had a long sleeve version of it that he was wearing. And I wanted that, but he didn't have – he had them in all the ladies' sizes, but he didn't have one in the men's. They were out of them. I think he's ordering some more. And – he's going to the cool thing about the long sleeve version is that now that this one has the Sunset and Vine logo on the back right here, but the long sleeve version has a really nice painting on the back that he designed himself, that he painted himself, and it's actually on display in the store. And I wanted one of those shirts because I was going to show you one of those shirts, but he was out of them, but he's ordering some more, and maybe when we go back over there, maybe he'll have them in and I can pick one up. But it's a really, really cool painting. A really talented guy, I'll have to say. Anyway, here's to Bennett over at Sunset and Vine. And tell us you, Bennett, and for an excellent recommendation for an excellent wine. This is the Paris Valley Road. Lynn Marley says, thanks for the stream, Rick. And Brew 243 says, have a good night, Rick. Thanks for the show. But I didn't even see you in there. Brew 243, thanks for being here. I appreciate it. Was that New Baptism says, glad you still streaming. Cheers. Well, thanks. It's good to see you in the chat. I'm glad you're here. Anyway, it is time to close up because I got nothing else, unless anyone else wants to chime in on anything. And you got anything else? Anybody else? Gary or anyone else? I want to thank everybody for joining me tonight. As once again, this show is really more about you and me. I mean, just having a good time, and when you're here, that makes the show all the better. It really does. It makes the show all the better. And I am proud and honored to be here with you. Once again, I'm doing this for fun. I have a great time doing this. But it's only a great time because you're here with me and we're sharing this time together. I want to thank you for being here tonight. I want to thank Ed, my good friend Ed, for being here. And Tim, happy birthday again, Tim, for being here with me. I want to thank Gary, and happy birthday to you too, Gary, by the way, and my lovely wife, Chi, and everyone who's joined me on the chats, everywhere else, CM Cinder, KM Bread, Lynn Marley, I don't want to forget anybody, Uncle Ledger says hi there, yeah, did I miss you? Yeah, no, I answered your question there, Uncle Ledger, KM Bread, Brew 243, New Baptism. I want to thank you for being here with me. I do appreciate each and every one of you. Please, if nothing else, I want to ask you to please be excellent to each other. As Bill and Ted would say, be excellent to each other. I want you to have a great week. Please do not drink and drive. Drink in the comfort of your home, your apartment, your hotel room, wherever you are. Call an Uber or Lyft if you have to. Please do not drink and drive. Call a cab if you have to. I know they're getting expensive, but just stay put where you are. Please do not drink and drive. Think about yourself, but think about others around you too. Do not drink and drive. Do not text and drive. That's a big no-no. Do not text and drive. I saw somebody on a cell phone the other day, and it was... I don't want to go there. Do not text and drive. Because I want you to have a great week, but I want you to have a safe week. Have a safe week. So you can join me here again next week on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, and we can all get together and drink with Rick. Good night.